Lord, see your people. See us gathered here, hearts open in repentance and hopeful in forgiveness. May we see you in each other and see you in this season of reflection. Amen. The scripture from the Gospel of Matthew is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He's gone to great lengths to explain to his disciples and all who are listening that worship and fasting and other spiritual disciplines should be done in secret. He encourages everyone to simply do these things for the glory of God and not to show off and impress your neighbors. Yet here we are on Ash Wednesday when you will receive a large black cross on your forehead. And you'll forget about it until you are standing in line at Kroger and people are looking at you like this. There's something on your forehead. It advertises to the world that we're Christians. And it's not a mark to be ashamed of. Even though the ashes symbolize penance, mourning, and mortality, we receive the ashes recognizing who we are and accepting our mistakes, our sins, but also trusting in reconciliation and forgiveness. To put on sackcloth and ashes in the Bible was to grieve and repent. Lent and the practice of Ash Wednesday evolved in the Middle Ages, and the duration of 40 days of Lent connects to the 40 days that Jesus spent fasting in the desert before he began his public ministry. Those 40 days included reflection, prayer, preparation, and temptation. The sign of the cross on our foreheads in ashes advertises that we're followers of Christ. We can see in each other that we acknowledge that we are all sinners and that no one is perfect. But the cross also shows our belief in forgiveness and that we know we are reconciled with God in Christ. God sees us in all our weaknesses and our mistakes and our bad choices, but God is also merciful. We see God in each other and God sees us. In the book of Joel, the prophet warns of the destruction that's coming for Israel. The day of the Lord is coming, and it includes an army that will overrun the city. But even in the face of destruction, Joel testifies that there is mercy. It is not a time for the faithful to hide, but to be seen. He calls for everyone to come together. Old and young, even infants, the newlyweds, the ministers, and the priests of the temple. He calls on them to come together, repent of their sins, and seek the forgiveness of God. He asks them not to come together for themselves, but to glorify God. By standing together before God, they are all visible to each other as people in need of mercy, and other nations can see that God is merciful and loves his people, that God is powerful but quick to forgive. We come together today and during the Lenten season confessing our sins and showing up for each other in our imperfection. We realize that no one among us is flawless. We don't need to know the explicit details of each other's sins. We just know that they exist. No matter how ideal our lives seem on the outside, we are all in need of God's grace. We are all in need of reconciliation. Receiving that cross on our foreheads today, we admit to God and each other that we are flawed, but we trust in the promise of redemption and in God's love. In his second letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul frequently talks of boasting. By the 11th chapter, he is talking about everything that he has endured for the sake of Christ and sharing the message. But Paul points out it's not about him. It is about the message itself. He tells the new church at Corinth that if they're going to boast about the apostles and other Christ followers, it should be not to brag about the followers themselves, but rather to point to God. Paul says the apostles are beside themselves for God, but in their right minds for the Corinthians. In this case, being in their right minds means seeing everyone with the eyes of Christ and seeing them as a divine creation. Paul reminds the Corinthians that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. They and we are remade through reconciliation. Jesus saw people's sins and brokenness, but loved them anyway. He forgave and encouraged people to forgive one another. He kept no record of wrongs or a running tally of how many sins each person committed. He offered the gift of forgiveness. And as Paul declared to the Corinthians, we are also entrusted with the message of forgiveness. That is how we boast. We see each other as Christ sees. Forgive each other as Christ forgives. Through our actions and our acts of faith, we can be seen as a forgiving people. And we can be known as Christians not just by a black cross on our foreheads that lasts for a few hours on one day of the year, but by sharing the story of salvation and seeing others just as Christ would have seen them, worthy of love and forgiveness. That same grace and compassion could also be extended to the person that you see in the mirror every day. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses spiritual practices such as prayer, fasting, and even stewardship. On the surface, he seems to contradict Paul, or rather, Paul seems to contradict Jesus, when Jesus says to practice piety in secret. And Paul encourages the Corinthians to get out there and be examples of the living Christ. But what Jesus is telling his congregation on the side of a hill is it's not about making sure that other people know you're fasting or that they see you praying fervently or that you're keeping your treasures for yourself. It's about applying spiritual practices to your life as a way of strengthening your relationship with God and opening up space for God to work. Jesus says, beware of practicing your piety before others to be seen by them. Yet here we are, gathered in a church, listening to scripture, singing hymns, and we'll be taking communion together. However, we're not here to be seen by others. At least I hope that's not the case. I hope we're not gathered here to keep track of who showed up for Ash Wednesday service and who didn't, or to keep track of who might be the bigger sinner in the room. Again, we show up for each other to recognize our connection as people of Christ and to reconnect to God through confession, repentance, and forgiveness. It's not a biggest sinner competition. It recognizes our common need for Christ. It is to see our fellow Christians and know we're a family. It is a place to bring someone who may want to know more about this family and the forgiveness and acceptance that God offers. When I was growing up, Lent was about giving up something. And looking back, that did feel like a competition. How long could we go without TV or chocolate or coffee? And we kind of delighted in letting people know how tough it was. Jesus tells his disciples to not walk around looking dismal about the fact that they're fasting. Just do it. Get up, get dressed, and go do all the things on your to-do list. God sees you. It doesn't matter if other people see you. God sees you and God is pleased with you, no matter what. It's not about getting a gold star on the Christianity report card. Fasting is about letting go of distractions that get between us and God. It creates room for God to work in our lives, and it creates room for us to rebuild our relationship with God. Again, Lent's not a competition, and one type of fasting is not better or worse than another. But just as an example, I know that my personal prayer life has been lacking for the last few weeks. My intention during Lent is to set aside an hour for prayer and journaling. For some, it may be about temporarily giving up one thing and replacing it with God time or family time or quiet time. And who couldn't use a little of that? God does amazing things when we give God space to work. Think about how you can create space for God. This might involve the treasures that you store up. Jesus cautions about storing up your treasures on earth where thieves and rot and rust can get to them. That implies financial treasure. But it can be about stuff. A treasure can be something that we obsess over. Our treasure can be the physical things that just accumulate and that we can't seem to part with, and we wind up hauling from place to place, sometimes with resentment. But the point is, that stuff is here on earth. And to build a kingdom here on earth, we need to clear some real estate. It can be the physical space in our lives. It can be our emotional landscape, our spiritual space. Taking time during Lent to divest ourselves of distractions creates opportunity for reflection and reassessment. It gives us an opportunity to slow down and really see our lives, really look at ourselves and how many things are between us and God. Think of God as that friend across the room, a crowded room. How many people and how many things do you have to weave around and get past in order to get to God? What do we value? What are our treasures? Are they really treasures, or are they things that we simply cling to because we're afraid to let go? Or we don't know how to let go. The cross of ashes we receive today on our foreheads does show the world who we are and whose we are. It might even open up a conversation with someone else. So what's the deal with that cross on your forehead? Oh, let me tell you about the man who made that cross special and important to me. Jesus died on a cross just like this one in order to bring humanity back into right relationship with God. It means we confess our mistakes, whether they're deliberate or unintentional, and ask for forgiveness. And our God, being a God of mercy and grace, says, "I'm forgiven." Christians are not perfect. And sometimes we forget about God and how important God is in our lives, but Lent reminds us to make space and reconnect and reconcile. If you'd like to know more about what God has done for me and for my family, you're welcome to join me at Epworth. I go to 8:30 worship, or 9:45 or 11. By the way, my name is... For a few hours... Wear that mark on your forehead to show that you are His. For the next 40 days, create space for God to work in your life. During Lent and beyond, be seen. Be the people God needs us to be. Be seen by the world through acts of forgiveness and healing. See others through Christ's eyes. Be seen by each other and reminded that we are not alone. We're all sinners, and we all have the promise of reconciliation through Christ right before us.